Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast. I'm here for the evening again from 8 to 9, as usual. And I have my co-host with me, Al. And we've got a very special guest. Her name is Terry Christine. And she is with us tonight, and she's written a book. And she's, as I see, she's a clairvoyant, a clairaudient. She is a clairsentient, which is quite a few gifts she has. And I don't know about Al. Al, what do you, are you clairaudient, Al? I'm not, I'm holding back here. Are you clairaudient or a clairvoyant or what, Al?
Claircognizant.
Okay, all right. So anyways, I just wanted to know because
I'm... Natalie, that's the word you introduced me to that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, I did. You're cognizant of everything. You have a lot of a combo of senses. But anyways, let's get started. Welcome, Terry. It's so nice to have you here with us. I want to begin with how did you realize you had these gifts? I mean, did it happen as a younger girl? Were you older? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, thank you so much, Natalie and Al, for having me here, first off, and everyone being here. I'm very honored and grateful every time I do a show or whatever I step into. So thank you so much. And, you know, my story started at the end of a 14-year relationship, and we had two beautiful children together. However, because I was born into a family that had two teenage parents, my parents were 18, had three kids, I was the middle one, and we were not triplets. And so you can imagine the lack that we had in our house. Our electric was cut off quite often, and there was just a lot of struggle and a lot of anger and resentment toward both of the parents because they were so young. And so here I am, you know, in my early 30s, still dealing with the remnants, because we are the remnants of our upbringing. We are the programmed patterns of our parents. So I had all of that here into a 14-year relationship, and I'm at the end of it. And the last year, I cried every night because I lived outside of myself giving love that I wasn't receiving. And if anyone has ever experienced a relationship, first off, so long, and that you give, and in the end, it turns into resentment and anger, because you give so much and you're like, why am I not getting this in return? So after that last year, I was just so bitter and so lonely and so lost that I had nothing else to give and I wanted to end my life. And in this day and age, I know mental health is very prominent in society and in social media, but I knew that I couldn't do it to myself. So I climbed out of the bathroom 3 months before the end of this relationship. I climbed out of the bed and climbed into the bathroom. And I laid on that tile floor. I'll never forget. It was really cold and hard, and I'm laying there. And I was saying to God, at this point in my life, I have nothing else. I would be completely happy if you just stopped my heart. And I begged God as I was crying hysterically. And then I had this sense of floating. I know my eyes were closed, but I know I was present in my body, but not in the room. And I could see stars so close that I thought I could touch them. I had this damp taste and this dampness around me. And then all of a sudden, I heard three words that changed my entire life. Love will come. It was as if this masculine energy force just flew those words right through my body. It was part of my lungs, my life, my blood, my everything was part of me. And I heard it vibrate loud. I woke up, got off the floor, climbed into the bedroom. And when I woke up, I was completely different. Everything changed. I went to the Barnes & Noble and I bought a whole shopping cart full of books that I had no idea. I was just a cookie mom and a type A sales girl, and I didn't meditate, never knew anything about it. And all of a sudden, I'm buying these books from Eckhart Tolle, Esther and Jerry Hicks, Wayne Dyer, Doreen Virtue, and I'm like, I don't know who these people are, but this is calling me. And and I had piles and piles of them. I was so busy in my life that I only read about one book a year, but after that night, I was reading 3 and 4 a week. I became this supersized person that was just couldn't get enough, and I was just skimming the words and sucking all this knowledge in, and I wanted more. And then the next thing, people started coming to me and telling me about Reiki. So I took a Reiki class and crystals, and all of a sudden I started moving to this journey. Well, I did have the strength to leave that relationship, and then that's when all the magic happened. And then I supersized and took it into a development course, and then I practiced and practiced and practiced and spent 5 years on a psychic website and had a very, very strong following, and then just supersized into everything, and that's where I am today.
Wow.
Pretty crazy story.
Well, I think Al can look back, and I can look back at the beginning for me. I resonate with some that you've already said, but I won't say it on the air. I don't know how Al's career began. I think Al knows something about mine. I probably would love to talk to you, when we're off the air. But anyways, I have interviewed so many people, and a lot of them started in almost the same way. They had difficult childhood, but although I've had somebody that had two parents that had doctorates and all of this, and they became successful. But the ones that have the gifts, like yourself, I feel, it's a struggle when they first, right from the very beginning, they have to be introduced into something. You are actually thrown into something, you know, and how amazing. I saw. So that's the comparison between the two of us. But isn't it wonderful what happened to you? And look at what you've done. Now, how old were you when this happened?
I was, I started in that relationship when I was 31. And we were together 14 years. So I was in my mid-40s.
Okay.
Yeah.
When it all kind of fell apart. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, if people are, well, I know people are listening, they'll understand that, you know, when you get gifts like this, it's not just like somebody says to you, okay, Terry, okay, Natalie, okay, Al, here you go. You can do this, this, and this. It doesn't happen that way at all, because some of us are listening. The clients and potential clients are listening, and they're thinking, wow, you mean there's hope for me? There's hope for all of you. It's just that this is the way it started. I have never written a book. You have written a book, Terry, which I want to talk about. Al, have you written a book?
Yes, I've written 3 of them.
Okay, they're published? I mean, they're out there?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, everybody knows I have a fairy tale in my head, but it's not a self-help book. It's not anything like that. But I'm always amazed, like, with you, Terry, especially you, Terry, because look at what happened to you and these words that you heard made you feel like, okay, all right, I can do this. I'm going to get up, and tomorrow is a new day. And look what happened. Look at what path it took you on. Did you finally get love?
So, yes, but it was from within.
Okay, no.
That's what
I'm sure the listeners are wondering, what kind of love? Love will come. Well, okay, what kind
yeah.
of love? Describe it. What happened to you?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I teach intuitive development, and, you know, people come to me in all various different ways of where they are in their life, and certain things can catapult you to where you truly want to be, or certain things, you might have something happen, and you're still struggling. The thing is with me, it was a lot of the pieces of the puzzle that got me to where I am. So first off, as I was explaining that, you know, childhood of living in lack. So I'm already living outside of myself, grasping for abundance on the outside. So I'm pulling in, not feeling the connection of me on the inside. And that lasted up until the moment that God, Source, Higher Self, whatever you want to call it, spoke to me. And in that moment, that space between being the lowest of low that you do not want to live anymore and having just a tiny bit of hope, saying that something that all you want in your life is going to come at you, and this source, this power that just flows through your body, and it, you can't even deny it. It's so right in your face. That being the type A person that I am catapulted me. And so when I was able to wake up the next day, that sense of happiness that, oh, my God, the love that I've been truly dying to have is going to come to me, kept me going. But as I kept going, as I was reading the books, I was gaining the knowledge of things that I didn't know. And then people were coming to me, giving me messages. So it wasn't just that moment that God spoke. It was a couple of things that helped me see things beyond my physical eyes. So I was communicating with people that were giving me messages that people, I mean, this, because I was now open. And God was sending these people, and again, I'm just using that label God, but it's source, higher self. So, you know, it's not a religious text here. But as it was coming to me, I was opening to receive more and more, and the excitement like a child. What is this about? What more is this? So I never thought it was freaky that people were coming and channeling messages to me. And so when I was getting all of that, then I kept being able to move into more knowledge and to get where I am. So for some of the listeners, you may have experienced something that you that was out of the ordinary, but it was what you chose to allow to catapult you. Was it strong enough? And for me, in that place where I didn't want to live, having something like that was extremely strong enough. It was right in my face. So that's where it allowed me to be where I am. And then the type of person, you know, I was a sales director for a sightseeing company for 20-something years, and I was type A. So all of the things I was learning, I wanted more knowledge. I wanted to be able to be the person that people came to because that's all I ever knew. But then when I started learning it, I found that I was learning it for a deeper level of loving myself, and then knowing that I didn't have to grab everything on the outside to pull it in, I was connecting. Whew, that's loud.
Yeah, sorry, what is that?
I just asked my roommate to be quiet, and she turned on the blender.
Oh.
Oh, wow, no. Okay, good.
No, that wasn't me.
No,
that's all right. And so I was able to connect fully and freely into then the things that I was pulling from the outside to pull them in. I was now fully connected to what was in. So if that really helps you and the others to understand that that was what was enabling me to be able to love myself more. So that type of pain, I had to experience it in order to love myself so much, or I never would have.
So, Terry, I have a question for you.
Well, you know, I'm surrounded by quite a few people. I mean, I could go to anybody that's on my site, but I have my own kind of circle that I talk with on a regular basis, and there's been a few. There was one in particular. She's listening tonight. She listens every Wednesday night, and I think she helped me the most. It's something that I believe, and she told me that's coming from your heart, that's coming from your soul, which I believe what I believe in, okay, and I'm not going to go into it on the air, but she says you mustn't let that go. This is yours. And but my thing was is that I let people, two of them that I thought really cared about me, to step into my space to critique how I felt spiritually, and I should not have done that, and they had no right to do it. So both of them, I'm happy to say, I told them. You know, wasn't telling them off. It was just telling them. Because I don't even think they realize it. I really don't. One of them I've known for 20 years. She felt awful. She says, oh, I didn't realize that. What do you mean you didn't realize it? Come on, you know I'm sensitive. I mean, this is important. So anyways, but I got through it. But you know what else I did, Terry, is I stuck to myself. And this was on Saturday. I went and I did a lot of meditation with my cat next to me. My cat's name is Mushy. And he knows right away when mom is, oh, something's going on with her. And I, too, cried a lot. A lot. And I even yelled at God. I told him I hated him. I said, because you allowed me to get this far with this, and now I'm getting all of this, call it flack, from these people. But then I realized, and of course I said, I really don't hate you. You know, I just was angry. And but then I realized over the next couple of days, I started to feel better and stronger. And I, and with the help of this lady that's listening tonight, and she knows who she is, I got all of it back. It's all back with me. I am good to go. And I will never let anyone do that to me again. I mean, it almost destroyed me because that's how strong I believe. And at the end of my show, I always say, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. I mean, I am, and I'm a strong empath, so, and that's not always good. But listening to you, I can really relate and understand, and it does help me as well. And there are people out there that are going through the same kind of thing. That's why it's great to have somebody like yourself and even Al, because he knows. I mean, it's a man's point of view. Maybe he can't always understand us women or the women that are around him. And, you know, he'll say, well, what is wrong with her? Well, something's going on, right? And he just, but see, he's very sensitive and he understands. He takes the time to understand. So I thank you for that. It really helped to explain something for me. Tells me a lot about you, Terry. It really does, because I know lots of people, and I, you know, you're high up there with me. You really can make a difference. So now, do you do workshops? What do you do exactly? You do this intuitive development kind of thing, right?
Sorry.
So I do
before,
many. Yeah.
Sorry, before,
go ahead, Al. Go ahead.
Sorry, before you answer the question, I want to ask you a question. So I'm going to give a real quick background before I jump into my question. So in my early 40s, I got tired of the roller coaster ride, and that's when I went on my quest to awaken. And Terry, as you know, I became awakened, and in 2015, a few years ago, I had three major life-changing events. So again, I went through some stuff. By no way am I comparing what I've gone through to anybody else's scenario. But my question to you, Terry, is do people have to hit rock bottom, or do they have to go through trauma, or do they have to go through life-changing events in order to remember who they are or what they represent or the value of the gifts that they have? Or can people actually bypass all that and quickly grasp it?
That's a really great question, because I was actually just speaking to a guy the other night, and he was telling me his story. So I appreciate you saying you're not comparing your story to anyone else's. We just have stories, that's all. So there's no comparison, and I love you for that. But this guy was telling me about how he went on, I don't know, a vacation or something, whatever it was. And while he was there, he said he just went into a meditative state because he meditates regularly, but then something shifted on him, and then he became more in the sense of gratitude. Like all of a sudden he felt oneness and feeling like complete calmness and grateful for what the space that he had and where he was. But it didn't linger. It lasted. And it lasted for the rest of that trip, and then it lasted when he came back. And when he came back, he started seeing things around his house differently. He said he started feeling like he could appreciate what he had more. He said, I can't tell you what I could put my finger on that this happened, Terry, but it happened. And you can call that my spiritual awakening. He told me, he says, I don't know the things that you know. However, I do know that I do feel a connection to source. I do feel like I can manifest things that I want. I do feel like I am protected and loved. He says that he is growing and learning more of it. And he's opening up to it. So to answer your question, anything can happen, and it can be just when you least expect it, or it can be when you do expect it. It's really at that space when you trust and know. I know, isn't it funny? But when you trust and know,
it's true.
That whatever it is that you truly want and desire, and you finally let go of seeking it or grabbing it or pushing it or pulling it, and being with it allows us enough space to open up and say, I got this. I see something different. I feel something different. And you know what? I think I'm going to trust this feeling, and I'm going to move into it, and I'm going to see things differently around me, and I'm going to look at it and shift it 5 different ways to say, is this for me? How can it be this way? Is this something I'm learning from? You know, and then you start asking those deeper questions that everybody tries to avoid, right? And then that's when all the magic happens, when you start realizing that you're one with this source energy that really, truly is there to support and love you.
Natalie, one of the things that Terry and I have in common is we have a powerful connection to trust and knowing. And I think I mentioned it on a previous show that two of my personal mantras is to trust beyond hope and know beyond faith. And that's where Terry functions also from. And that's why we have a great connection. Or one of the reasons, I should
say.
Well, you know, go ahead, Terry.
Thank you. So people open up at a certain time, and they open up in different ways. Like, you know, I have a couple of people that do what I do that I'm very close to. And, you know, her thing is about relationships and intimacy and money, because her background was 20 years in banking, where when I woke up on that bathroom floor and realized that I really need to trust me from now on, and I really need to know, right, trust and know, that I am loved and supported, that I don't have to push and pull and grab and all those things, that my purpose, now, of course, purpose is to expand and grow, and everything else is a choice. However, the purpose of what my abilities to help people is to really supersize into your own intuition. And so you'll find that my book is about connecting deeper into you, trusting, seeing your limiting beliefs, because that's what I had, a ton of them from teenage parents, and letting go. But I didn't know. I had to learn on my own, or I had, you know, courses that I took, and then they tweaked them as I went along the way and got downloads, as we spiritual people say, that, you know, helped me grow to where I am today. But really, it's what you end up shifting into with what is happening deep from your soul. So it may not be
intuition. That's exactly what I did, Terry.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did. But I fell prey to people, especially the one that, you know, I said, well, first, one thing I said to her is, first of all, you're not God. She said, I said, so you can't base this on it. She says, I can base this on 39 years of experience. I said, not with me, you can't. You know, it's just my belief system, and I developed it because I was an only child all by myself. I know, and I'm back to where I was Friday. So I got something from God. I got help. I got fixed. And this dear friend of mine, I talked with her at length, and she just reiterated to me that Natalie knows what's in her heart and soul. Nobody should question that. No, and I said to myself, nobody should rain on your parade, not if you believe it so much. So it worked for me, and now I'm back. I mean, it took me all these days from Saturday till today to feel like my old self again. And
wow.
Had I talked to you, Terry, it probably would have been done in an hour. But anyways, you know, and I want people to know that it happens to all of us. We all... it's not a perfect road, you know. You get things thrown in your path, and with me, I deal in the psychic world, the spiritual world, a lot. because I deal with all kinds of authors and publicists and readers, and it's like all, so I almost have to put a wall around me sometimes, but I don't usually have to, but, and I'm not going to, because I can handle it. Now I'm, like I said, I'm back to whatever happened for me worked. And I think it could have been a test for me also. I thought about that too. You know, sometimes God gives you tests, or whoever you believe in. I might not believe in God, but sometimes you're given tests. It's almost like, well, let's see how much she believes. Well, I'll show you. So, you know, I know what I've seen. I've seen in 1983, I almost died, and I know what came to me. So, and I'm not going to go over it. Maybe if we talk on the phone, Terry, I can talk to you about it. But I know. I just know from within, and I have to make sure that it doesn't happen to me again. And Al helped, because Al just said a few things to me. And sometimes that's all it takes, everyone that's listening. It just takes the right person to maybe understand you a little more, maybe to think, oh, you know what, I went through something kind of similar to that, and I know what she's feeling. I don't know, but I was crushed. I was crushed. I didn't even tell my son. My son would have been very upset, because he knows how I am, and it's my only child, and he's very gifted as well, and he's just wonderful. But I, he knows what my life has been like. So, I mean, it's better, but what it was before, like 6 years ago. So, but people that are listening, you have to, sometimes you have to lean on somebody. You have to find that right person who's at least going to listen to you, but also has some kind of spirituality in them, because if they don't, they're not going to understand what you're going through. What I needed, Terry, was somebody that would come up to me and hold me and say, Natalie, it's going to be fine. Don't you give up what you believe in. But I didn't have anybody to do that. And I think that hurt me too. So now everybody's going to say, well, let's give Natalie a group hug. No, you know what I'm saying. Somebody that could have come to me and listened to me and said, now, let's just look at this, and let's see how you are. But, what a great person to have on my show tonight, Terry, is you, because you just kind of fit right into it. But sometimes that's how the divine works, brings the right one at the right time, right? So, see, you triggered something, and I guess I just was supposed to tell you. So, anyways, okay, let's get back to you and not to me. As Al knows, I can talk the whole hour, and then I override everybody, and I don't want to do that with you, because you're so great and you've done so much. So now you work with people on an individual basis, or do you do groups? And I want to tell everybody you were on Facebook Live today. I saw you on every Wednesday night. You can tell everybody about that, I think. That would be good, that they can actually send you little messages. What do you do when you do Facebook Live? Let's start with that.
Okay, thanks. So I've been doing Facebook Live about 8 months now. I do it every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard, and it's a 30 minutes. And whatever topic comes up, I actually have the topic before I get on. I type a little something about the topic, and then I talk about where the limiting beliefs can be around that topic, how to shift out of it, and then I do an actual live clearing on air. So whoever's listening will get a clearing of whatever that topic is. Like today was about money, about how you can go from one extreme to the other, about the lack of not having it, and or the other extreme of money's just BS, and, you know, it's not important. You know, you can go from those extremes, but in the middle, it's really seeing money, what I call abundance or energy, as creating or having opportunities. And so for Facebook Live is every Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard. And then I use my life, whatever clients will send me in topics, or people listening will send me topics, or whatever comes up either the day before or that morning. I've been known that if I get triggered, it becomes a topic. And then I've been in practice as an intuitive life coach, or actually internationally known. So I have clients all over the world. There is no time and space with energy. So I have an active practice for over 11 years now. And so I've got many different avenues of how people can work with me. I do these Illuminate Festival shows that are in the metropolitan Washington, D.C. area. I live in Maryland. So I go up as high as Pennsylvania and then down as far as Florida. About once a month, wherever the shows are, like there's one in Columbia and one in Annapolis, which are Maryland areas. And I went to Savannah last weekend in Charleston. So,
oh my gosh, you were right by me, Terry. You were 20 minutes away from me.
Yeah, there you go. I did these Illuminate shows. Yeah. And at the shows, I offer workshops that I teach people how to connect deeply into their intuition. And they're free workshops at the Illuminate festivals. And then I offer 20 minutes one-on-one sessions to clear as fast as I can anything that's holding them back. I also can clear, you know, physical pain out of the body. So if I touch you, I can shift it out of shoulders, neck, spines, hips, feet, wherever I'm picking it up. People will come to me and say, oh, my gosh, my neck is hurting. And then they walk away and they don't have any more pain in their neck. Because what happens is that emotions become blocks in the body. And if it's held in the body long enough, it starts breaking down the body and becomes a physical pain. And so all I'm doing is connecting to the emotional block. I'm moving the arm, shoulder, whatever. I'm breathing in and out. I'm moving some energy through the spine, and voila, it kind of pops out of your body. So that's kind of how the magic works with me. And so I help people in that capacity. And then I also do one-on-one training, which is, you know, one-on-one coaching, the intuitive life coaching part. And I also do a live online group energy clearing called Power Stream. I do an intuitive group, a group intuitive development training that I just started. I do a one-on-one training. I mean, I hit every angle. So when I call the Illuminate Festivals more of a community service for me, because it's a lower price point, and so many people are struggling, and they need help, but they're living in lack. So their threshold is, oh, Terry's too expensive. But when I go to these Illuminate shows, I create a price point that I'm not so expensive, so they'll jump in instantly, and I can help them. So after that, if I've raised their vibration enough or took out whatever it is they're struggling, at least a little bit, because I usually do a lot of it, but at least to catapult them slightly towards saying, wow, this works. I'm going to look more into this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to start working with someone, or I might start doing Reiki or whatever. But I'm actually supersizing people into moving into a spiritual journey and however they're accepting it. So there are many different levels out of doing this for over 11 years now that I've created for people. So thanks for asking about that, and God bless you.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
Terry,
absolutely.
I have a question
for
you.
Well, this is about you. Go ahead, Al. I'm sorry. Just go ahead.
It's all good. It's all good. So, Terry, I have a question for you. So let's say you come across a gentleman, and let's say in his high school or college days, he plays football, got a back injury. Let's say his lower back. Now it's 20 years later. He's in his 40s, and he comes to you and says, oh, my lower back is killing me. How do you tell the difference whether it's from the injury that happened 20 years ago versus something that's going on in his life currently?
I love your questions, Al. That's why I always enjoy talking to you, because your questions are so deep and profound. So when you have what quote unquote an accident, what was going on in your life during that accident or right before that accident? So let's say they have a football injury. Maybe in their life, they were doing too much and they're in college, taking too many courses, helping their parents, had a full-time job, and the universe says, you need to slow down. And then whammo, you got the injury. But what could be in that is, what's in your mind during that time? Was it that I'm not good enough, or no one's here to help me? Or I could go on and on with many different levels. So now they've owned that emotional aspect when that accident happened, and now it's caused that pain, or what they're feeling is quote-unquote pain, and they're hanging on to it. Now, in the back is from the past, and spine is balance. And when I work with people, I usually start by putting my hand on the back of their neck to see how much balance they have in their life. So I'll take my thumb and my forefinger, and I run it from the neck all the way down the spine, and I will get what I call hits on where this is in certain vertebrae of the spine. And so then when I get a hit or a feeling that, oh, there's something there, I'll look to see through the body what's in front of it. So if I get a hit, there's where the heart chakra is. I'm like, oh, you got some love issues from your past. And then lower back is life is a pain in the butt. So I'll usually see things that are directly across from the solar plexus, which is fear or fear from the past. You know, again, back is the past and balance. So what I do is I will get the hits, I'll feel it, and then I'm putting my hands on it. And then I see things in my mind. I can see blockages. I will visualize the spine and the chi that runs up and down the spine. And I see if I can move the energy. And if it stops, I can see this in my mind. Then I'll put my hand there and I'll send energy to it. And I can actually feel a shift. It can feel like a spasm. It can feel like something moves very quickly or a creak, you know, or crick, whatever you want to call it, in the back where my hands are. And everyone always feels something. And that's how I actually help people eliminate any physical pain in their body.
Interesting. And thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. But I appreciate
the way you explain that.
So
you consider yourself, it sounds like you're like a healer, really. you are.
Magician.
Well, no, if you talk to some healers that I know, and I know one, she always says that's what I can do, but I don't do that. I don't, I'm not trained, and I run in so many directions that I'd have to be just within self and just do, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm running this business and all of that, and it's, I can't do that. I can't focus long enough to do that kind of thing. But that's what you are. You're a healer, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
So you can add that to your repertoire.
Absolutely. So when Elle and I first met, that I was more, you know, of removing the emotional blocks through connecting to their energy and using energy statements. So back then when I met Elle, I didn't do hands-on healing work. Over time, because I work on so many people and they're either in front of me or remotely, that I started seeing this. It just started coming to me years ago that when I would put my hands on someone, I could feel a shift, and I get so excited, probably more excited than my clients. And I go, oh, my God, you feel that? Oh, my God, you feel that? And most of the time they say yes. And when I started seeing repetitive patterns and then visualizing what was going on in my mind, then I could feel the energy moving through my hands and into their body. So I know that when I wanted to supersize something, I would take deeper breaths and pull the energy down through me and then visualize it going through my arms. And people will get will feel shaky, anxious. You'll get very emotional immediately when I touch them. So I really just honed in to the craft of the energy. So, yeah, you can call me a healer. That's great. I call myself a magician because I love the fact that, you know, it's really all magic. And you can do it, Natalie. It's just that we just have to practice. And the more we practice and we see the patterns and we trust that what we're seeing and feeling is really helping people and shifting out some of the things, then it's happening. And so I do things going into it without a doubt. I am not holding on to the end result. I know that I am healing and helping you. I know I am.
Right. Like for me, many have said it's my voice. Yeah, last week she was a singer, and she said to me, do you sing? And I said, oh, no. I was in Glee Club when I was in junior high. Oh, my God, no, I can't carry a tune. She said, it's something with your voice. She said, you have a very angelic, healing voice. Well, I've been told I can do voiceovers, and my granddaughter likes me to read out loud to her because I don't know. She said, well, Gran, it's your voice. Don't you know? But I don't like my voice. None of us like our voices. And so I don't really know for me. But I think it's wonderful what you can do. And if you want to say it is magical. It's magical. It really is. Anything like that we really don't have an explanation for, you can say that. But really, truly, what you're doing, you are a healer. In my estimation,
Terry, I have a question for you. and it's going to sound off topic, but there's a purpose behind it. How do you feel about indigenous wisdom?
Indigenous wisdom?
Correct.
You know, I really don't label things any form of wisdom. If anyone is connecting into anything that makes sense to them, then that's what their soul is calling for. Maybe they have had something connected in a past life, and that's why it resonates or vibrates with them. But to me, I've had the opportunity to deal with things that are what we want to call mainstream, like Reiki and things like that. But I also have had opportunities to experience some really what people call far off, like, you know, alien communications and stuff like that. But, you know, then I hear some people telling me about these other things, and then I kind of roll my eyes because it doesn't resonate. I'm going, what? So I'm open. Exactly. So I'm open that if it's wisdom and it's resonating on in that deeper cellular sense to connect to your inner wisdom of truth and love, then I'm all for it. If it's guiding people to see things in a different perspective, I'm all for it. Now, that different perspective may not be something that resonates with you, but it'll allow you to see something differently. Like, I have seen some really far off things, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not really resonating, but I've had the opportunity and I walk away. So totally open to anything when it resonates in the capacity, especially on the wisdom level, that takes you into that deeper truth and love. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. How
are your guides doing, by the way, Terry? You haven't brought them up.
So, you know, I've had some, it's funny, when I work with clients and I, you know, I'm clairsentient, clairvoyant, and clairaudience, which means I can hear, feel, and see. Those are my strongest clairs out of the three, and I teach people to supersize those because those are the ones that you really can do readings and connect to energy and see and feel and all that. And so when I connect and I hear things in my head or people standing next to me, I don't even ask who it is because I feel the love and the essence. And when they guide me and give that information, it's so beautiful and truthful because I want and live in the truth. And so when they're giving these messages, it's for the purpose to help whoever is receiving it, may it be, you know, on this podcast or on a one-on-one, you know, a client. So I have had people, and I'm going to chuckle with this, but I've had someone tell me, well, you're kind of a fake because you don't know who you're communicating with. What? What do you mean? Because I don't label it and care that I need
They don't
to have
a name either, yeah.
I don't need a name.
No.
As long as I feel... Right, but, I mean, I have to roll my eyes and laugh about that when somebody, and it was another healer that said that to me, and I'm like, are you really kidding me? First off, that was judgment, and I do everything to welcome and receive everybody as they are, and we should all live like that. And so if you feel that I should be knowing the name of who I'm communicating with, the most important part is, it's in truth and love, and I'm giving you a message that's so profound. It's helping you in your life. So does it really matter if the name is Joe or Harry or Sam? Because in my case, it's love. So that's the name I'm giving you.
I agree. And I'm sure Al agrees.
Totally.
Oftentimes, though, my clients will want, well, what's the name of your guide? I had a gal who passed away in February, Al knows, and we were very close, like sisters. And we would laugh. I'd say, well, go convene with your guides and ask them. And she just thought that was the greatest thing. I ask her still to do this, even though she's not on Earth. I think some assign, like, some are like Indians, some are actual people. I don't know if she never really called them by name. As for mine, I don't know who they are. And for seeing them, I don't see them. I don't hear them either. I always say that they're probably on vacation. But that doesn't mean that they're not there, and that doesn't mean that I'm not being guided or I probably have to be nudged, Terry and Al. Okay, we got to get her over there. How are we going to get her doing this? Okay, let's make it tough. Let's push her over there because that's the only way I'm going to do it. I guess I don't like an easy path. I don't know. Maybe it's been that way all my life. But I don't know the names, and I don't think names are that important either. Do you, Al?
No. No, I don't.
Good. It's all love.
Yeah, we can only know about ourselves, and seems to me what I experienced of late, I had to be wound like a top, really tight. It had to get so tight that I had to either collapse or do something about it. And obviously, I don't give up at all. And not if I told you my past, Terry, you would understand. And so I worked through it, and I got help working through it that you could see, that you could not see. But I learned a valuable lesson in the process, which I think sometimes that's what it's all about. And sometimes it has to be really bad for you. But you can get through it. You can walk through it, walk the walk, get through it. I think you can do it. I obviously did it, but it was very rough on me because I was alone. And I guess I was supposed to do it alone. I always feel that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway, so don't even – just keep doing it and love what you do. And I do love what I do. Everybody knows that. But I was at the point like you, Terry, that – oh, I guess you said it was you or somebody you knew – that I give a lot. And maybe that was part of it because I felt that, not that I earned this, but that something was being taken away from me that, look what I've done all my life. All my life. And now I get this test that's going to nearly knock me over? No, that's not right. I don't believe that. I don't believe whatever you believe in, God, higher source, whatever you believe in, I don't believe that that is out to get you. And I think I just had to yell at God. I had to release it because I was containing it all. I learned a valuable lesson, and I probably learned to love myself more and to trust myself more. That's another thing. Instead of relying on people to give you, you think that they're just so wonderful. Well, they're not any better than you. They're really not. And they don't know how you feel. So, Terry, I'm sure you can understand that. And probably Al, too, you can understand. But I'm not going through that again. I'm done with that. The door is closed. I figured it out. And it
Terry,
could have
been
just a big test for me.
Terry, what has been the biggest blessing that you've had doing all this?
The lesson?
The blessing.
Well, Terry can answer that. She probably knows.
Yeah. Al, oh gosh, I love you so much. You're just amazing.
Thank you.
I think about that often. You are. And I'm feeling really warm right now because I feel your love. I reflect back on this quite often because you know me, and I'm going to tell the audience that what you know is that I live in true gratitude. I'm so grateful for every opportunity that I have, every client that I work with, every same results, or been doing it so long that I see a lot of the same patterns. And then when I see something new, I tell the client, oh, this is something new. And I love it because then I have something new that I'm exactly. And then there's something new that it gives me in my little bag of tricks. And I'm like, oh, if this happens again, that's great. I've experienced it. But to have something new come on board is not as often, but it's really kind of cool. And so the blessing of this whole thing is, first off, I found me. And, you know, when we say, oh, I'm still looking for myself, and you see people with Facebook or post and say, stop looking for yourself, well, we do get lost in all of the limiting beliefs and blocks from our upbringing. And I didn't know who I was. And to be truly loving me for who I am and loving myself so much that I can love others as much, because if we really don't love ourselves, this is the reality and this is not a cliche. If you do not love yourself, you cannot love someone else. Not that internal, good, juicy, unconditional love and feel like it's safe and vulnerable all at the same time. And when I found that space, the blessing is I got it. And then to be able to connect deeply with people, every client is different. And the other day, I want to share this quick story because you're going to feel how amazing this is. So I was doing some work in the Bethesda Salt Cave, and, you know, salt has negative ions and helps you to release resistance. So I'm working energy work. It's like a fish out of the water. So this woman was laying in the salt cave, and I had my hand on her pancreas, and I said, you have something so deep, I can feel anger and frustration all at the same time, but I can't connect to it. It's so deep. And she goes, I wonder what it is. All of a sudden, I opened my mouth. I didn't even hear the word. My lips just moved and said, college. I said one word. She screamed crying, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I never graduated college. I forced my kids to get a 4-year degree, and this is the only way I can live feeling like I'm getting what I never got. And when I took my arms around her and I held her, because I wanted her to create safety and love, that she is loved no matter what she was feeling, because she was crying so hysterically. And to feel that in itself, Al and Natalie, is a blessing. To feel that, wow, she could let go of something that she was holding on so deep that probably nobody knew but me. And that in itself is what keeps me going every single time I work with someone. Your belief or block or what comes up or whatever happens between me and my client, it doesn't have to be so profound. It can be something as easy as them getting over a lost pet or, you know, a job or a promotion they never got or not feeling heard. That's profound for them, and it's profound for me too. But in this case, all of these things is really what gets me going and gives me that sense that I'm truly blessed to have.
Phenomenal.
Sounds right to me. Really does.
I told you you were phenomenal before we came on the show.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I love you.
So now, tell us about your book. I mean, the show can run overtime, but I mean, I do want to touch on this book.
I was just getting ready to say,
did you just finish it, or the Secret Power of You?
Yeah, it's the Secret Power of You, a guide to mastering your inner greatness. And so it's pretty funny that the book changed its name. I think Al, you might have remembered the name it I originally had was The Three Choices.
Right.
You know, yeah, you remember it. And so I was manifesting and wanting to connect to the most powerful title so that people could get it, and something opened up, and then I ended up with The Secret Power of You. And it really is, yep, it's about connecting you deeper into your own intuition. And literally what happened to me is where I didn't even trust my own self. I was living so far outside of myself, and that's where all the resistance and the everything else that I had about not loving myself. And so I teach people in this simple yet profound book how to see your limiting beliefs, how to shift out of them, how to go from negative to positive. There's case studies of my clients of where they were, what I did, and where they are, so that you could relate to some of these stories, and my own story in there too. And so, and then there's how-tos. Simple again, however, yet profound. So this is a book that you can go back time and time and time again. And I self-published, but I have to tell you, and, you know, Al and I spoke about when I was going to finally finish my book. And, you know, he was giving me some helpful hints, and thank you so much. And I when I brought it out and published it, I found that it was exactly what I wanted it to be. And I have sold over 700 copies before it's even been distributed on Amazon. And every single person comes to me and tells me, I'm telling you, 700 people, yes, because I sell them in various different ways, from the Salt Cave to the Illuminate Festival shows, at workshops, on Facebook Live, people, I talk about it and people buy it directly from me. It's on my website. So I have it in very different places, and they all come back and say it's helped me in such a profound way, literally 99.9% of them. And then the one says, I don't know why I never found this book before. So
you weren't supposed to. It was waiting for the right time to come to you. That's why.
Exactly.
Divine timing.
It's nothing about But it's nothing about ego. It simply is that I wanted this book to be so powerful for people, but simple that they could sit down and read it and say, man, it was a simple read and I so got it. And that's what they're all saying. And I can go back to it. And yes, I'm using this. And yes, it's helping me, because we all are looking for simple, quick fixes. However, it's not a quick fix, because you do have to do the work. You have to read the book, reread the book, and go back and do the work. But it's simple enough that you understand, so that you're not getting frustrated and not seeing results. These are showing you results. So The Secret Power of You, it is found on Amazon. It is right now under pre-order. It will be distributed September 11th. However, if you want a Kindle version, it is available now. You just click it and it's instant purchase. It launched on my birthday, so I wanted something cool and groovy to come out on my birthday, which was July 26th. And
that's cool.
I am, thank you, and I am working on the audio version, and so I'll have it on Audible. It'll probably be after it's distributed in the paperback. So, yes.
I want to ask you something. Have you ever heard of somebody that has to read a book out loud to really get it? I don't, as a young girl, I always read to myself. But when I read last week for my granddaughter, I mean, it was just so different for me. Maybe that's what I need. I love to read, but maybe that's what I need to be doing, is just read out loud. Does that make a difference?
You know, there are, for certain people. So what happens is that you're hearing your voice that is reflecting back into your ears. So it's allowing you to get a different hear from the words versus just reading it inside of your head. And so I found with me that I do, because I was in a car accident when I was young, and I have to read and then go back and read a few more sentences just to make sure that I'm retaining it. So that's the only reason with me. But you, when you're reading it out loud, you're hearing the voice vibrate back to your ears, and it's almost as if someone's reading it to you, and that's how it could be for you.
Right. We love reading the book. I mean, her and I were talking, and I had the dialogue, and I, you know, and she just understood it so well, but then so did I. And I could have just kept reading, but my, you know, my throat was getting really tight. I mean, I read hundreds of pages to her. And then, you know, after I left, I thought to myself, maybe that's what I should be doing for myself, is reading out loud. I'm going to try that.
There you go.
It just dawned on me when you were talking. It just came to me that maybe that's what I should be doing. That's what I should be doing.
Glad to help.
And same thing. I don't know how the two of you wrote your books, but, of course, mine is a very magical story. And, I know the very end is going to be like. And I don't know, maybe I have to talk out loud. Maybe I have to talk into something, how I feel, and then transpose it to, you know, paper, because I can't sit like in Word and sit there and type it. I mean, that doesn't work with me, probably because there's too many distractions. But it's a beautiful, it's a love story, it's magical, and what it is I want to make people, not only the elderly or older people, but the young people, like my granddaughter's age, for example, to believe that anything is possible, as far out as it seems, it is possible. And I told my granddaughter this, and her eyes got really big, and she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, really." "Oh," she said, "let's do it." I mean, she wants to help. And I just think that's wonderful to have her help me. And but how did you write your book? Did you do a recorder? Did you sit at the keyboard? How did both of you write your books? I want to know.
So I'll go ahead.
And you're both quiet.
I'll make it quick. So with mine, I actually did start from scratch and start writing. So I did start typing some things out, and then it got to where I was getting frustrated because I'm like, oh, I only have so much information. So what I did was I would start recording some of my client sessions. However, that I would turn on my Mac, record my voice, plug in my phone, and put my earbuds on so the recorder would only hear my voice, and then my client would be talking directly to me. So there was that client confidentiality that I, you know, whenever I transcribed my recordings, then the transcriber would only get my content. And then I would take out the juicy parts, because actually my content is all the good juicy tidbits anyway. And so I would get the transcriber to send, you know, to transcribe. I would cut and paste all the juicy tidbits and then put it in separate categories of chapters. And then I hired a content editor who would create the flow of all of that content, because I had a ton of content. And that's actually how the book came to be. But it's all my content. It's actually all my words and all my writing.
How'd you do it, Al?
I started a keyboard and wrote. But from this point forward on my next book, I'm just going to write whatever, and I'm going to hire a ghostwriter to put it all together.
Yeah, well, I'm venturing off in a different field. So, I have the characters, and I can see the last scene in my head. I mean, it's there, and it's wonderful. There's nothing bad in it. It's going to make everybody feel really good and to believe. That's what I want to do with it more than anything. And I guess I just have to sit down. I mean, I have some of it started, but then I stop, and I get pulled away. And, you know, I probably have to go sit outside. You know, because it's really nice here in South Carolina, and I can do it in the morning and just right away. Somebody told me just write whatever you're thinking about that pertains to your story. Just write. Don't worry about if it's a capital T or an O or whatever. Just write. And this was somebody who has written many books that I'm good friends with, but her books are like most books where there's like, they put them in like categories almost, you know. She's got this all these characters and all of this, and I'm thinking, no, there's only two characters in this one. There's only two people. There are people on these sides that do some things, but it's really about these two people. So, anyways, it's really good. It's in my heart. It's sitting right there ready to come out, burst out, and I guess I'll get some encouragement when I'm supposed to, and somebody's listening, and they'll write me a note. Natalie, you need to do this, like, right now. And then maybe I'll do it. I don't know. But anyways, I guess you have to be inspired. And I'm just, maybe I'll be inspired now because I got through this, and I'm standing tall, and, I can do it. I can do it. So anyways, it's been wonderful to have you, Terry and Al. Of course, Al's will be on in a couple of weeks. He does the ones that he brings. I'm waiting for somebody to come up with somebody for the 29th. Next week I have a gal who has a son. She wrote a book on him. He has dementia and he's young. And we talk on Alzheimer's, which is probably going to be a little rough for me. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be good because I'll be able to talk about it. And then I don't have anybody the following week yet, but then we have Lorna Blake, and you know her, Al. And so we'll bring Al back. And actually, it's good having Al because then I don't have to talk so much, and there's more interaction, and it flows. I mean, look at the time already, past the hour, just like that. And I will write something about you, Terry, in my blog post tomorrow. And I would like to, and I'll email you about it, to put something in the September issue of Mystic Living Today, maybe something from your book. We can do an excerpt. We can do whatever, you know, you can write something for it. I would love to promote you that way. I love doing that. That's, somebody asked me about doing the magazine. It changes me. I'm like sitting at a different person because I am bringing, like you, Terry, I am promoting you. I am making you look good in my own way. I'm making it all sure. Everything is done. Everything works. The pictures are there and everything. And I just get so much pleasure out of doing that. I should really put Al in there, too. Al, you should send me something from your book. Books.
Plural. I will do that.
I love doing this. I really do. I have a producer friend out in Los Angeles, and she just said to me, you tell me who you want, and I'll get them. I said, oh, don't go and do that. I'm not ready for anybody really famous yet, but give me some time. Give me maybe the rest of the year, maybe next year. Who knows? I mean, she knows everybody. But that's what it takes, you know, and I'd like people to come to me, and perhaps we can have you back again, Terry. It's just been wonderful, all your information. I'm sure everybody is deriving a lot from it. And we want to mention your website. That's Terry, T-E-R-R-I-E, Christine, Christine.com. Go to her website, go to Amazon, and look her book up. And you can, like she said, you can do Kindle. It's called The Secret Power of You, or you can wait for the copy to come through on September, what did you say, the 11th?
September 11th, but if you pre-order, which is required under Amazon, so please don't feel like you have to wait and for it to be distributed.
Right, that's right, yeah.
Pre-order it.
It'll be sent out as soon as it's available.
Yep, they'll ship it to you
good.
On September 11th, and it is available currently now on Kindle.
Okay, that's great. Well, I hope you enjoyed this, Terry. I know I enjoyed it thoroughly. But we'll talk again. Al, you're wonderful as always. I love him dearly. He's got this voice that he just makes you believe everything is going to be fine. If that makes any sense. I mean, it's just like, is that what you do, Al? Yeah. Types it too. You know, he doesn't say a lot, but what he says is very meaningful. And same thing when he types on Facebook. Same thing to me. Very meaningful. So I love you
Thank
both.
You.
Have a great evening. And don't forget, everyone, go check out Terry's site, terrychristine.com, and also come to Stars with a Z, psychics.com, and mysticlivingtoday.com, which is my e-zine that's 20 years old now, and Stars will on September 12th will be 7 years old. Of course, then I have my Planet Stars. That's the hub. PlanetStarsWithAZ.com, and that I started back in 1998. So, hello, long time. I've been doing this a long time. So, with that, we'll say good night. Thank you again, Terry. Thank you, Al. And as I always end the show, and people, you know, say, is she going to say it? Yes. Believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. Good night, everyone. See you next week. Bye-bye.